What would happen if you watched your grandmother murdered and felt nothing? Not shock, not grief, not even fear, just clinical observation, as if watching a documentary. This is the reality for Yunjai, a 16-year-old boy whose amygdala, the almond-shaped brain structures that process emotions, are unusually small. Born with alexithymia, he experiences the world without the emotional filter the rest of us take for granted. On Christmas Eve, violence erupts in his neighborhood. 6 people die, including his beloved grandmother. His mother survives but slips into a coma, and Yunjai? He simply observes, his face blank as a winter sky. This isn't a story about a boy learning to be good. It's about a boy learning to be human. Yunjai's mother recognized early that her son needed unconventional guidance. Unlike other children who instinctively mirrored smiles and learned from pain, Yunjai remained expressionless. He reached for scalding kettles despite being burned, stared down aggressive dogs without fear. The neighborhood whispered about the strange boy, but his grandmother defended her adorable little monster. Their home became a living textbook. Colored post-it notes covered every surface. When cars come too close, dodge or run away. When people smile, smile back. When someone is crying, pat their shoulder and say, "It's okay." She fed him almonds religiously, hoping to enhance his deficient amygdalae. She explained that everyone has almond-shaped structures in their brains that work like emotional traffic lights, signaling fear, anger, or joy. But Yunjai's traffic lights remained permanently dim. By fourth grade, Yunjai mastered social camouflage. Strategic silence worked better than forced responses. "Thank you" and "I'm sorry" navigated most encounters. His mother's directive became his mantra: "Don't stand out." He learned that honesty sometimes wounds unnecessarily, that you must occasionally say, "That looks good," about unwanted choco pies. Yet beneath this performance, his family's unwavering support anchored him. After the Christmas Eve tragedy leaves him orphaned, his grandmother dead, his mother comatose, Yunjai manages their used bookstore alone. The smell of old books connects with him inexplicably. Unlike movies or TV that leave no blanks, books offer spaces between words where he can insert himself, creating connection without requiring emotional understanding. Dr. Shim, a former physician running a bakery above the bookstore, reveals his closeness with Yunjai's mother and offers employment. With few customers, Yunjai's life becomes routine: school, hospital visits, managing the empty store. Doctors plainly state she won't wake. He helps nurses turn her body to prevent bed sores, describing it like turning over a big load of luggage, a clinical observation representing his honest experience. A social worker suggests a youth shelter, but Yunjai asks for time, never intending to leave. Alone, he experiments with a chat app seeking guidance on normal, finding no answers. In this liminal space between life and death, between feeling and numbness, he must navigate both his condition and surviving alone. Gone enters like a hurricane, violent, unpredictable, impossible to ignore. A troubled transfer student fresh from juvenile detention, he initially bullies Yunjai, both fascinated and enraged by his emotionless responses. Their explosive first encounter reveals deep wounds. "You're the son of a bitch that took my place as their son?" He's referring to how Yunjai had pretended to be the long-lost son of Professor Yun and his dying wife, a deception that haunts their relationship. The contrast between them couldn't be starker. While Yunjai cannot feel emotions, Gon feels everything with devastating intensity. Abandoned as a child and bounced between foster homes, his rage and pain constantly overflow. In a pivotal scene, Gon brings a butterfly for empathy training, systematically torturing it, tearing its wings, piercing it with a needle, while demanding Yunjai feel something. When Yunjai can only observe that the butterfly looks uncomfortable, Gon's frustration explodes. He stomps it to death, unable to continue his own cruel experiment. Yet through shared isolation, a tentative friendship forms. Yunjai observes that while others find Gon difficult to understand, to him, Gon is transparent, his tough exterior merely hiding deep vulnerability. Their unlikely relationship represents two extremes of emotional experience, each filling the other's empty spaces. Lee Dora introduces Yun-jae to an entirely different emotional landscape. While Gon teaches him pain and guilt, Dora brings flowers, scents, and dreams, like songs he's hearing for the first time. A runner on the track team, though she's its only member, she moves through the world with quiet self-assurance. When Yun-jae asks what she's running for, her radiant eyes darken. She explains her frustration with people questioning her purpose. To her, it's like being asked why she lives. She runs simply because she wants to. Her parents discourage her running, calling it useless for adulthood, causing her dream to evaporate. Walking home from school, a sudden wind scatters colorful leaves. Dora appears, and as they pass closely, her hair whips across his face, carrying an unfamiliar scent. This brief encounter leaves him sleepless, feverish, with scenes replaying in his mind. Dr. Shim congratulates him. Yun-jae is growing, both physically and emotionally. He suggests Yun-jae has a crush, though Yun-jae insists these feelings come from his brain, not his heart. His temples throb at the sight of her, his ears prick up at her voice. Through Dora, Yun-jae begins experiencing emotions he cannot name, suggesting his condition might not be as fixed as doctors believed. As Yun-jae grows closer to Dora, Gon withdraws. Falsely accused of stealing during a class trip, everyone blames him, even Professor Yun, who reimburses the money without asking if Gon was guilty. Gon's rage erupts in Korean class. He trashes the classroom, and when Dora calls him trash, he slips out. No one, not even Yun-jae, calls him back. At the bookstore, Gon declares, "If I can't protect myself from being hurt, I'd rather hurt other people." The real thief later confesses, a classmate who framed Gon for fun. Professor Yun visits Yun-jae devastated, confessing he hit Gon and wondered if things would be better if Gon had never been born. When Yun-jae insists Gon is good, Professor Yun breaks down, begging him to bring Gon back. Yun-jae tracks Gon to a hideout with Steel Wire, a notorious former juvenile detention inmate. Steel Wire hands Gon a knife, urging him to attack Yun-jae. When Steel Wire threatens Gon, Yun-jae takes the blow instead, the knife plunging into his chest. As Gon holds him, begging him not to die, Yun-jae whispers for him to apologize to those he's hurt. Gon's tears fall, and something explodes inside Yun-jae's heart. "I feel it," he whispers. Emotions flood through him for the first time, just as the world drifts away. Yun-jae survives. He wakes in the hospital crying and laughing simultaneously, a sensation overwhelming yet deeply natural, like a dam finally breaking. Miraculously, his mother has also awakened from her coma, as if their fates were mysteriously intertwined. The trauma served as an emotional defibrillator for Yun-jae's amygdala. The near-death experience and desperate desire to protect his friend activated dormant emotional pathways. Medical scans confirm increased amygdala activity. His brain had always possessed the capacity, but needed extreme circumstances to break through. When his mother arrives in a wheelchair, beaming, Yun-jae says, "Mom," the simple word carrying years of stored emotion. She bursts into tears, her trembling hands stroking his face. Together, they cry and laugh, witnessing the beautiful culmination of his journey. In his 18th spring, Yun-jae rides a bus past blooming cherry blossoms to visit Gon. Whether we feel everything intensely like Gon, run toward undefined goals like Dora, or struggle to identify emotions like Yun-jae, we're all trying to understand ourselves and connect with others. The almonds in our brains may vary, but our shared humanity lies in reaching across the divide. Yun-jae's story reminds us that empathy and connection are skills we can develop. What matters isn't how naturally emotions come, but how we choose to act with patience, persistence, and willingness to see beyond our limitations.